You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. It was about halfway past nine as I'm sitting there at the America Airlines Arena, keeping up on the latest information while also trying to watch a game where Miami inexplicably lost what was a 20-point lead early in the game to a, let's say, not great Charlotte Hornets team. And as I'm seeing the influx of news, particularly about one game in the NBA, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder facing the Utah Jazz, I'm trying to find out exactly what's going on and seeing tweet after tweet about players being escorted off the court, game suddenly being called, deciding whether or not the game is going to be played at any point, and then finally seeing that the game has been called and that one player in particular, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz, has tested positively for the coronavirus. And from that point forward, it's kind of, I won't go so far as to say it's a blur, but I'll be honest with you, watching the Heat struggle to try and find any kind of rhythm against the Charlotte Hornets didn't seem quite as important. It seemed pretty evident that Miami was going to have to muster an incredible effort just to try and close the gap a little bit. Even when they closed it to single digits, Charlotte found a way to pull ahead, and Miami just never really got any kind of rhythm. I started walking downstairs to the America Airlines Arena, saw a couple of reporters, and basically told them I'd see them next season because it became pretty evident that the NBA season wouldn't be taking place anymore, that it would be suspended. And sure enough, within half an hour or so, before the game actually even ended, the NBA season was postponed indefinitely. So we're starting to get news. It's been very difficult to keep track because it changes so much. You're starting to see, even yesterday, the news kept evolving. At first, it was the city of San Francisco posting a ban on any kind of meetings for over 1,000 people. So therefore, the Golden State Warriors wouldn't be able to play their games in front of fans. Then you're starting to hear that maybe that policy is going to be adapted by teams, regardless of whether or not the cities they play for enact any kind of legislation or things of that sort. And then it slowly builds and builds and builds. The NCAA Final Four and the respective tournaments attached to that tournament, they were going to be canceled, or not canceled, but they were going to be played in front of no fans, and slowly building, slowly building. Then you get to that news about the Oklahoma City Thunder game, slowly building. And finally, it results in the league terminating the rest of the season. Suspending is the actual term that they've been talking about. So it's, as this day, and I'm recording this on a Thursday, plays out, even now we're starting to find out more and more information. What we know so far, the league has been suspended for 30 days. We don't know what that means in terms of standings. We don't know what that means in terms of the playoffs. We don't know if the season is going to be restarted exactly from where it left off, or whether or not it will be canceled outright, or whether or not the playoffs will begin once play does, if play does, resume. So that's something that we're going to need to continue to monitor. The league is going to be maintaining regular contact with individual teams, all 30 of them, and their respective medical staffs. And now they're also initiating some policies, because the 30-day deadline was one that was developed. We started hearing rumblings about that earlier on Thursday. It became official, you know, official as much as official is through Shams Charania of The Athletic or Wojnarowski of ESPN. You know, that's what we're starting to hear. I think these things continue to evolve a little bit, but from the latest tweet from Shams, the league is enacting several policies that they want their teams and their players to follow. One of which is that players must remain in the market of team that they play for. So there's been no specific clarification about what that means, but I imagine it's about limiting travel. If you're a Miami Heat player, you stay in South Florida. If you're an Indiana Pacers player, you stay in Indianapolis, and so on. It makes sense. There's travel bans around the country anyway. You don't want to necessarily take the 30 days off and consider it a good time for you to travel to Bimini or you know, the Bahamas with your family. That's not necessarily going to help control the spread of the coronavirus. And so it's just about staying where you're located right now. And that might be a little difficult because you have players with family that stay behind. They might have been traded midseason and not exactly moved yet. Where is your market team, et cetera? You know, I was talking to Solomon Hill, and I had an interview that I was supposed to be playing, you know, a couple days ago. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way. But he told me how difficult it was for him making this adjustment because he has a wife and daughter. And, you know, obviously they stayed behind in New Orleans. I'm sorry, in Memphis, where he had been playing earlier in the season. And then midway through the season, got traded to Miami. So that has been a little difficult of adjustment for him. Does he go to Memphis to spend time with his family? Does he stay in Miami? That's one of the things that we'll have to kind of keep track of. Players must also remain home as much as possible. It's a good policy for everybody. At this point, limit traveling as much as you can. If you have to go out to the grocery store, that's one thing, but I wouldn't recommend going out to, you know, your favorite restaurant as much as possible. Businesses are going to suffer. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality, and that's the way to control the spread of the virus at this point, is to limit as much general interaction with people as much as possible, and hopefully NBA players will follow suit, but this is going to be impossible to enforce. Players get restless. You listen to the most recent podcast with J.J. Redick. He's going through an injury right now, and even at his age, he has a set way of doing things. He needs to be out on the court. He needs to be physical. These guys are never going to stay home. They can't. They don't know what that life is like. They're 28, 29, 30. Maybe they have kids. Maybe they don't. Either way, they're not going to be able to stay home. They're going to play some video games. They're going to find ways to spend time at home. But they're also, if they're not married, they'll call girlfriends over. Even if they are married, they might call girlfriends over. You know, they're going to interact with people. They're going to interact with their friends. They can't limit who they see at their home. They can't limit who they interact with. And so this is a policy, but it's not one that's going to be enforced. I understand why the NBA, at the very least, has to keep their players as safe as possible by making these suggestions, these recommendations. But these policies, even as they're being called that, cannot be enforced. They're also recommending that there be no group workouts or practices. This is, I think, a little bit easier to enforce because at least this will be on the team itself. You can't have the team, similarly to high school teams or college teams, not high school teams in particular. I'm not sure how it applies to colleges, to be 100% honest with you, but high school teams can't practice before a certain day. They don't want those kind of supervised group workouts and things of that sort. In the NBA, guys routinely come over to the practice facility, get an assistant coach to toss the ball, go rebound, go do a couple things, work with some drills, etc. Another guy shows up and you kind of make it a one-on-one activity, whatever. That happens all the time. Apparently, they don't want teams to engage in that sort of activity. That makes sense. At first, it was believed that players would be able to at least work out together, that during the 30-day suspension, they'd be continuing to have some workouts and things of that sort. It seems like that's no longer going to be the case, but I also imagine this is going to be pretty widely broken. Players are going to find ways to work out. Like I said, they're going to be restless. They're going to be like, hey, man, let's go shoot. Let's go do this. And who knows who player X has interacted with? Who knows who player Y has interacted? And now all of a sudden you have potential spreading of the contagion, which is the whole thing that the league is trying to limit. But there's only so much they can do. It's humanity in general. And NBA players are a very specific aspect of humanity that is used to doing things a certain way. It's not going to be easy for them to limit that kind of physical interaction. Another policy is that team physicians and trainers should speak to each other once a day. That makes sense. Physicians will call players and say, hey, what have you done today? Players are going to lie and say, oh, I stayed home. I made a nice omelet, a frittata for me and my family. And that's all I've done. Sure. At least they've checked in. At least they've made sure that, I guess, they're going to ask if they have any kind of symptoms of a flu, runny nose, cough, anything like that. And if that's the case, at least you can continue to monitor a player's individual health and make sure that they're safe. Look, right now, and this is what we know as far as the original player that was tested, Rudy Gobert had been feeling somewhat sick. He didn't have any kind of major symptoms because that is the nature of the coronavirus as far as we know it, is that it's not going to have any kind of specific major symptoms that are going to manifest in a 25-year-old healthy male. Now, the problem with that is that when it spreads to people who have a existing ailment or a respiratory system issue, or if they're elderly and at high risk of falling susceptible to any kind of respiratory issue, then that's where you have fatalities come into play. Look, I'm no expert. I'm not going to pretend to be. this is an incredible medical emergency. It's I think it's pretty obvious. I think downplaying it, even look, I am not one to go to doctors. I have never been one to go to doctors. I am as far as from a hypochondriac as possible, and yet I recognize that this is an issue because it is. We're starting to see this impact everything on a global scale, and so there's no denying it as much as we'd like to. I'd like to pretend this is all going to go away, not just in 30 days, but in 30 seconds, and that's not going to happen. It's going to continue to build. We're going to hear more cases about it. Businesses are going to be impacted from small to great and everything in between, and right now, you know, the league is on hiatus trying to figure out what the next steps are. Even as we found out that Rudy Gobert was the first player testing positively for the coronavirus, turns out that his teammate, Donovan Mitchell, has also tested positively for the coronavirus. I'm sure there are other players, unless they've been tested already, I'm sure there are other players in the league that are going to test positive. And if not, there are family members that have tested positive, or that will test positively, or could be carrying it, that just may not have necessary any kind of symptoms. Why? Because it's cold and flu season. Look, Duncan Robinson mentioned it in his pregame presser. It's cold and flu season. You know, they had teammates on both sides. Terry Rozier missed the Charlotte Hornets game because of the flu. Does he have the coronavirus? Who knows? Maybe he hasn't been tested. We'd have to continue to monitor these things. It's going to come out that more and more players are going to be testing positive. It might not necessarily limit or, you know, have a severe health issue for these young, healthy adult males, but that's not, you know, indicative of the rest of the population. There are other members of the population, again, the elderly, people with respiratory issues, that are at risk, and that's what they're trying to prevent. I will also say, and I know I've gone a little long with this segment, but I don't like the scapegoating of Rudy Gobert. I think he's a little sarcastic. I think he's a player that, look, he's young, he's healthy, he's a millionaire. You know, I think there's a lot of "it's never going to happen to me" mentality, or that you can kind of get away with a lot of things because, let's be honest, they do. They're NBA players. And so when we're starting to see footage that never should have come out, by the way, about him touching microphones and kind of jokingly saying, "Oh, no, you know, I'm spreading the virus," etc., I think he meant it jokingly. I don't like that everybody's bashing Gobert. I don't like everybody saying, "Oh, he's the one who shut the league down." Even jokingly, to be honest with you, look, I just don't find it funny. I think that this is a person who would never have done these kinds of things if he had known he is actually carrying the coronavirus. I think he made a mistake. Maybe he was being a little silly. Maybe he was going a little over the top. But I don't think it should have been to the point where he was being vilified the way he is. I've talked to Rudy. He's a good person. David Locke, the president of this network, will tell you that Gobert is a good person to talk to on a regular basis. And I don't see it. I don't want to see people continuing to bash Gobert like he's the one that ruined the season or anything like that. It was going to happen. And if nothing else, it's a wake-up call, because it was going to happen. Because they were going to continue to play games and risk further contamination. Because if you had limited games, and they were still going to play out the last 20-something games of the season, you were going to limit those games and being played to non-essential personnel, or only essential personnel. You know, who was going to determine that? Who's going to determine if Andy Ellisberg goes to a Heat game, who he's interacted with when he goes out to dinner or goes to home or does anything? You know, the medical staff, have they been following these league policies that hadn't been enacted until about 2 hours before recording this show? Absolutely not. And so you have no way of limiting this. You have no way of controlling these things. And so I think Gobert, unfortunately, was the first player. And the fact that he did this just days after that microphone incident is rather unfortunate. But it was going to happen. There are other players, I'm sure, who will be testing positively for it. Hell, there might be other reporters or team staff or anybody who's going to test positively. You just don't know. And so you just have to be careful. And because of the way that this health system, the healthcare system, is so backwards, and it's been so difficult to finalize any kind of testing procedure, well, there's just no way around it. It's just going to continue to be difficult, and there's probably going to be people carrying this and not knowing about it, and they'll be putting other people at risk, and that's just the reality of it. And so let's not try to blame Gobert or any one person, because this is not any one person's fault. It's just a system malady, and it's going to continue to spread, and hopefully it'll be continued to treat, and hopefully we'll continue to cover the NBA in general, especially the Miami Heat. I wanted to make sure that you all know how this is going to impact the Miami Heat season. We'll talk about it in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. let me tell you about one of the most useful apps available today. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. I mean, especially for me, covering games, writing about things, and then also covering home to a 16-month-old child. Believe me, I don't have the kind of time I'd like to be able to spend reading a book. But when you don't have that free time, you can't read and you can't work on personal development. But there's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser, anywhere you read. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, business leaders, are well-known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist made it easy for people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy for you to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch breaks, or while you're on exercising. 12 million people use it right now and has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, history books, psychology, sports. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had the time to. So I use Blinkist when I'm driving around running errands or on my way to the arena, anywhere that I listen or to music or podcasts. But with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, if you go and use Blinkist, there's a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you go to Blinkist.com/NBA. So, with the news of the NBA suspended, at the very least for 30 days, possibly more, what does that mean for the Miami Heat and the rest of the Miami Heat's individual season? Well, obviously, no one knows. It's going to be difficult to determine. There are many different options there. From what we're hearing, I think the league has set the 30-day period there kind of just as a gauging point. Just kind of check back in 30 days, make sure everybody's healthy, see whether or not there's been any progress regarding a vaccine, whether or not we've been able to limit the spread of the contagion, etc. And if that's the case, then they'll probably move forward slowly but surely. Give players, teams a week or so to kind of reconvene after these policies have been enacted. Let's say because you haven't been having quote-unquote group practices, you'll be able to spend a week together kind of just working out, getting back in shape, kind of getting back into the rhythm of things. And then once they do that, my feeling is that they would rather just go ahead and finish the last 15 to 18, 19, 20 games of the season, however many games are left. There's also the possibility that they could begin the NBA playoffs right whenever the suspension ends. That they could just say, you know what, teams 1 through 8 have been pretty clearly selected right now, both in the East and Western Conference. There's no need to play out the last few games because nobody else is going to creep in there. That may or may not be true. The New Orleans Pelicans, in my feeling, have a legitimate chance of getting past the Memphis Grizzlies for the 8th seed in the Western Conference. I know the league officials would rather have Zion Williamson in the playoffs than, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, although Ja Morant is likely the rookie of the year. So Memphis Grizzly fans don't want to hear that, but that's also the reality, is that there's a good chance the Pelicans could get past them, and that would be the team that the NBA officials would want to face LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers should they hold on to the one seed, especially if the season ended yesterday. So there's no way of knowing that. But as far as Miami is concerned, let's assume we don't know what the rest of the season is, whether or not it's an immediate playoff beginning to the playoffs, or whether or not they're going to just go ahead and finish out the rest of the season, the rest of the regular season, whenever it's in 30 days, 37 days, 50 days, 60 days, who knows. But there will be a suspension, at the very least, for a month. And there are some pros and cons to that. So let me go through the pros first. It gives everybody a chance to heal. Obviously, Tyler Hero returned to the lineup against the Hornets. He looked really rusty, had some shots. Overall, still working his way back into a rhythm, but Myers Leonard has been out. Jimmy Butler was out. He has some lingering health issues, I think, regarding his legs, and specifically his ankle and toe. Those could have the kind of time necessary to heal, especially with Jimmy and the kind of extended minutes he's been playing at his age. it would be in his best interest and the team's best interest to have this kind of longer hiatus so that he can rest, get back into playing shape, etc. It gives the team a chance to rest, the reset. I think that's a big part of it, is that earlier in the season, they had a clear identity. They had a way of making an impact immediately. They started off so much hot. I mean, they started so much hotter than they kind of tapered off there towards the end of the season, or whatever this point is right now. And so gives them a chance to kind of regroup, figure out their identity a little bit, kind of understand exactly what happens next, and say, you know what, let's get back to where we were at the beginning of the year, where they were playing defense at such a high level, where they were moving the ball more frequently, you know, playing defense at the very least at a high enough level where they don't give up 20-point leads to bad teams. So I think that's a definite pro for Miami's favor. It's also the continuity. This is the roster moving forward. You have Andre Iguodala, you have Jay Crowder, you have Solomon Hill, for better or for worse, on this team. Those are the players that you're moving forward with. There are no questions about suspending Deion Waiters or suspending James Johnson. You're not trying to figure out who or what player you're going to move. You're not trying to incorporate Justice Winslow. Crowder, Iguodala, Hill, they all have specific roles. They've all filled them since the trade acquisition, and there's no questions about it. So I think that has some continuity benefits for Miami. And so to me, that's a definite pro as far as the longer hiatus. But there are some negatives to it, and one is a loss of momentum. They had won 5 of their last 6 games, arguably their best stretch, if not for anything other than the fact that they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And so now with this loss of momentum, maybe they don't reset. Maybe this is just kind of having to rediscover our new identity. What team are we? Are we the team that played so well in October, November, and December? Or are we the player? Or are we the team that kind of stunk it up in February February, to be honest with you. They really were quite bad in January and February in particular. They have to figure out how to play together. It's almost like starting training camp again. You've had time to regroup. You've had time, theoretically, to get healthy. Now, all of a sudden, who do you bring back? Tyler Herro played with Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder for the first time 2 days ago in practice, 1 day ago in a game-type situation. Now you have to kind of figure out how to play together again. Now it's about Tyler Herro getting back into the lineup. Now it's about Myers. Myers has never played with Jay Crowder. We don't know what that situation's like. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we have to take into consideration, is that these players are working their way back into the lineups, and we have not seen them work together. So it's an interesting challenge, and we're not sure how they're going to be able to do that seamlessly. Plus, there's going to be obvious rust here, because that's what we all see every October when it's the preseason. We see players kind of go through it, and just there's a pattern. There's a rhythm that these players feel physically over the course of the season. By the time they're right now and gearing up for late March, April, they're in kind of playoff mode. Well, for some teams, it's let's go to the Bahamas mode because they've already checked out. But regardless, there's a rhythm to that anyway. And right now, how do you bring back the Cleveland Cavaliers? How do you tell them, look, I know your season's basically toast anyway. Do you want to come back and play the last 20 games of your season, despite the fact that you're struggling as much as you are? I mean, are you going to get the Knicks back to play the last 18 games of their season, knowing that they're not going to get to anything, that they're not going to accomplish anything over that 18-game stretch? It's going to be difficult to see some of these lower-rung teams. And even for Miami, though, there'll be obvious rust there, and that's going to be a concern. And then the general standings. I mean, as far as Miami is concerned, right now they're the 4th seed. They have to play the Indiana Pacers. Is that the best matchup? Are you going to get a better version of Victor Oladipo because he's going to return? Are you going to get Malcolm Brogdon back from injury, etc.? If the playoffs had gone around their natural course, they could have gone as high as the 3rd seed. Who knows? I mean, they may have been able to get past the Boston Celtics and then maybe have a more favorable matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers. But if they play the last few games of the season, maybe Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are fully healthy. And if that's the case, maybe Miami wouldn't want that 3rd seed, because that might be a tougher challenge for them despite Miami's success 3-1 against the Philadelphia 76ers this season. So, look, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. There's nothing definite right now. I'm just trying to lay out the scenarios as best as possible, because the reality is that it could all change very quickly, as it has over the last 36 hours, if even. I'm trying to take into consideration even as early as Wednesday morning, when we started hearing rumblings about games being played in front of no fans and things of that sort, and now it's progressed so quickly within the span of 12 hours. It went from the city of San Francisco passing their ban to the league canceling the league, the rest of the season altogether. So things have changed quickly. Hopefully they won't change any more quickly, but this is the show to stay on top of the latest changes, because I'll continue to do my best job presenting news in a daily fashion. So how does the suspension affect this show? Maybe you don't care, maybe you do, but I'll talk about it in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. So, obviously, there's the question of how this show progresses. I didn't record a show on Tuesday thinking that I was going to be recapping games on Friday and Saturday. I didn't recap the show yesterday, the game yesterday against the Hornets, because, well, let's be honest, there are bigger things that I kind of wanted to take a moment to let it break down and let it digest, let it breathe a little bit before coming on the show and kind of reporting what's next. But you've gotten used to this. For better or for worse, you've gotten used to listening to the show. I hope it's better. You expect to download the show on a daily basis. You expect to hear the latest about the team, the NBA in general. And I appreciate that as much as anybody possibly can, because you've put your faith in sticking with me when I went solo on this show, and over the course of this season it has been such a great one for Miami. But now all of a sudden there's an emptiness here. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what to do with myself. I moved to Miami partly, and a big part of it was because I was going to be able to cover this team on a full-time basis. I mean, I was going to practices as much as possible. I was going to games as much as possible. I mean, this is a big chunk of my personal life that's all of a sudden not going to be there. There's not going to be as much news to report. There's not going to be as much any activity regarding basketball and the NBA in general to report. And so it's going to be a difficult trial process. I'm not going to try and mince words and say, oh, I'm going to have 5-day shows a week with the latest updates. I'm going to keep everybody, that's unrealistic. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be moments there during the course of this 30-day suspension where nothing is going to happen and maybe there's nothing to report. But I'll try and do my best. I'm going to try and look at individual players, what they've accomplished over the course of the Heat season. I'll also try and get into, some of the best games of the season, some of the moments that we'll want to remember moving forward, as far as, Bam Adebayo's triple-double, his performance in the All-Star game, things of this sort. So we can kind of refresh and rehash some of the good memories that we built over the course of the season. Because let's be honest, Miami has been entertaining, and basketball in general is a great source of entertainment, not just for me, but for all of you. That's why you listen to the show. That's why you're fans. That's why you follow as closely as you do. So I'm going to try and regroup as much as I can and try and focus on some of the more positive moments of the course of the season. And, I'm also looking to you for ideas. If there are things that you want to hear, things going back to the earliest moments in Heat history, if you want to hear any kind of breakdowns over specific games or anything like that, send them in. You have been such a vital part of the success of this show. And I'm not just saying that. I really believe your questions, your interactions with me on Twitter, after games, during games, sending in emails. You have been such a great source of information and just entertainment for me personally, because you are so involved. You're so active. This is a part of your lives just as much as it is a part of mine. And so I'm counting on you to continue that level of support. If you have things that you want me to cover over the next 30 days, if you have specific questions or specific things that you want to target as far as games or players or specific plays even, I will be more than happy to get into. I would be more than happy to look through any suggestions you have. As a network, we have 30-plus hosts that are kind of trying to regroup and look at different options right now. And so hopefully we'll be able to brainstorm a lot more over those next couple of days. It's going to be a trial period. It's going to be a process. Sorry, I hate using that term as much as I can. It's funny, now that I think about it, this is a total aside, and I apologize for that. Nobody was mentioning the process as much as Eric goddamn Spoelstra was during the Big Three era. The process became a Heat term during the Big Three era. He was talking about the process of building this team together, of growing around LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. And that's when the process became, it's a part of the vernacular. Let's not be honest here. But as far as NBA vernacular is concerned, Eric Spoelstra was the one to kind of incorporate that, and that Sam Hinkie was the one who used it, and that Joel fucking Embiid was the one to trademark it as his nickname is ridiculous. I can't stand it. You know, it's just something that sticks in my craw. So sorry for the aside there, but I just wanted to mention that because I remember Eric Spoelstra using the term, it's a process, to talk about bad moments, good moments, growth of this team, etc. He was one of the first ones to really use that terminology on a frequent basis, and I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for it. I forgot exactly where I was before, but the point is, I'm going to continue to do the show as much as I possibly can. I'm going to try to go into as much detail about specific players, games, etc., the season, past seasons, Heat history, whatever you want to hear. I'll continue to put shows out. This show is not going to die out just because the season is on hold. That does not mean that you're going to not have your source of entertainment, that you're not going to get the latest information about the Heat, about the NBA, about the league, about life in general, whatever you want to hear. Hey, if you want to talk about movies, I'll be more than happy to get into it. We've had some interesting podcasts over the years. You all have stuck with it. Back to the Heat Check days 5-6 years ago. So I appreciate all of your support. We're going to do this together. As always, we're going to continue to have fun together because that's just the reality. That's what we need right now when there's so many depressing things happening around the world. It's always good to focus on something a little bit more lighthearted and entertaining. I will always be here as your resource for that. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can always email me at lockedonheat@gmail.com or connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you for your support. Yeah! Wrap it up, B.